Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here for the Mass for this fifth Sunday of Lent. A special welcome to the members of Troop 81. They'll be cooking breakfast for us, pancakes, in the parish hall, in which everybody's invited to go to right after Mass. Also, we're having a training for altar servers, 10 years old and up, right after this Mass. And also, we have a little mini retreat today for those who are preparing for their First Communion later this month. As many of you know, we have some sad news to share this morning. Ted Ernst of our parish died on Tuesday, the age of 84. He suffered a stroke on March the 23rd and did not recover. To say that Ted and Charlene have been members here at the Madeleine would be a gross understatement. They've been here, I think, for close to 50 years. They remember Monsignor Dorney when he was the newly ordained associate pastor. And now when he was Father Dorney, and now Monsignor Dorney is retired. That's how long the Ernst have been here. And that's how much of they've given so much of their lives in Christ to us here at the Madeleine. So condolences not only to Charlene and to the family, but also to so many of their friends that are here at the Madeleine and elsewhere. Ted's funeral Mass will be tomorrow morning here at the Madeleine at 10, and the burial will take place at Calvary Cemetery here in Tulsa. There is no wake service or rosary planned for this evening. Eternal rest granted to him, O Lord, and to let perpetual light shine upon him. May their soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Give you a brief update about my mom. She continues to recover from her open heart surgery. She's now at home and is taking some rehab treatments while at home. And also my sister-in-law, Linda, is preparing hopefully to soon begin chemotherapy for her cancer. So your prayers on their behalf, again, are greatly appreciated. Please note in the bulletin that this Friday we have the last of our scheduled Friday devotions for Lent. Of the Holy Hour, the Meal, and the Stations. And also, I'll be hearing confessions, the stated times that are in the bulletin this morning. Also, next Sunday begins Holy Week, Palm Sunday, the Lord's Passion. And for this Mass, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to try a procession. We ask that you gather in the parish hall, and we'll have things cleared out for you. We'll have the beginning of the Mass there, process in with the choir. Now, if you are elderly or have a disability and may not want to be able to do that, stay here in the church and we will join you. And so, but also knowing that beginning on Holy Week, and we hope to have a great many visitors. So please keep that in mind. That when you come to Mass next Sunday and you find somebody sitting in your pew, please do not shoo them out. That would be bad manners. And please don't make anybody climb over you to find a spot. Not just for Palm Sunday, but any time. Let's welcome our guests. And if they are among us people, and I encourage you again to reach out to people who are not active in their Catholic faith to come and be with us for Holy Week and Easter. Invite those who have no church home to be with us. And if you see someone here at Holy Week who may not be all that familiar with the responses during the Mass, perhaps they've never been to Mass, perhaps they're a bit rusty, they've been here for a while, be patient. And thank God that they are with us. And pray that they will come to stay. It's going to be a busy next three Sundays with Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, and the Sunday after that, Divine Mercy Sundays. We're also going to have First Communion at the 10 o'clock Mass. So, welcome all of our guests as we would welcome Christ. This last week has been a time of fluctuating temperatures. You go out in the afternoon, shirt sleeves, go out the next morning, and you wonder where you put your coat. Big storms as well. Hailstones the size of softballs in places. That's biblical proportion type hailstones. And also the other things that are going on. In other words, it's spring and we're in Oklahoma. And as a gardener, it is that time of the year in which I and others, we go out into our gardens and we kind of begin to do the assessment. What survived winter? And what did not? And I'm looking around the other day in the garden around the rectory, seeing that, well, some things did all right and some things took a real beating. So it's time to get out and start digging in the dirt. Time to prepare for spring planting. And I think spring gardening is a good metaphor for Lent. Time for us to clear out the dead material, prune, dig, not just into our gardens, but into our souls. That's what the prayers and the penance and the acts of charity these 40 days guide us to do. And particularly on this fifth Sunday of Lent, maybe it's a good time to assess what of our Lenten devotions, of our practices, of our penances has survived so far. And what still needs to be cleared out, particularly through a good confession. Before we enter into reliving that passion play that we refer to as Holy Week. In today's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus from John, it's another one of those rich narratives that we've been having the last few Sundays. Again, there's the revelation of the identity of Jesus, as well as ours in our baptismal promises, the promises that we will renew on Easter Sunday. Revealing also to those preparing to come into the church at the Easter Vigil, particularly through baptism, of the faith that they are going to profess and enter into. We hear Jesus again use the words, I am, to identify himself. That divine name revealed to Moses by God in that burning bush in the book of Exodus. We've heard Jesus use the last couple of Sundays to the woman at the well. He says, I am the Christ. With the man born blind, he says, I am the light of the world. And now in the raising of Lazarus, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. We'll hear him say those words again during the Passion before Pontius Pilate. I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. So again, in that encounter with Jesus, certainly his life changed, but perhaps it's better to say it is life-giving. The woman at the well abandons a life that does not satisfy and enters into a new life in Christ, becomes a missionary disciple. The man who sees for the first time, not only physically but spiritually, recognizes Jesus as the Christ and worships him. And now, today, we have Lazarus, dead Lazarus, rotting in his tomb with his grieving sisters who encounter Jesus with their tears and their anger. Lord, if only you'd been here. It's 4 days since the death of Lazarus. And according to the Jewish belief at the time, after 4 days, the soul has fully left the body, which makes what happens even more amazing. This delay of Jesus when he hears about the sickness of Lazarus, it's not procrastination. It's rather that the glory of God will be revealed, and many will believe that one who was fully dead has been restored fully to life. And that's the great hope, isn't it? The dead will rise, restored to life, not only physically. Because part of our assessment, part of the renewal of these 40 days of Lent, is to understand, again, that we are both physical and spiritual creations of God. That spirit or life of God that we encounter with Jesus is what truly gives us life. Gives us life as it is intended to be lived. We have, from the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, today we have that vision of the dead rising from their graves. Now, at first glance, this might sound like a pilot for another zombie apocalypse series, but it's not. Now, no offense, but I don't get all the whole zombie craze stuff. I'm not into zombies. I'm into Civil War stuff. So there's ever a zombies is Civil War thing, you know, that I will have to at least watch the opening episode and see what happens. But this vision from Ezekiel, the dead rising from their graves, it's the hope of ancient Israel, a people who have been crushed, been repeatedly defeated, that it is their hope that the Spirit of God, they gave life to creation, will be given to them, to reanimate them and restore them to life. That same Spirit of God that is breathed upon the apostles by the risen Christ on that first Easter, that same Spirit that is given to us in our baptism. And waiting the Spirit of God is Lazarus. And with his grieving sisters. One of whom, Martha, makes that progression of belief. We've seen this before the last couple of Sundays. You know, the woman at the well, the man born blind. So also Martha has this progression of understanding. From believing that there will be a resurrection of the just on the last day. There was many Jews of her time that believed that. She goes from that to believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then professing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life as she sees her dead brother restored to life. And she encounters this and she believes this great sign of God's glory. And the raising of Lazarus becomes the catalyst of what we hear about next week. For yes, many believe and many others are afraid. Those who are in darkness. And they react with violence. They form this conspiracy. The Pharisees, the temple priests, and the Romans. That now that Lazarus has been raised out of his tomb, they're going to put Jesus in his. But after that comes that great sign of the resurrection. The glory of God also is revealed in the raising of Lazarus in another way that's unexpected. You know, John's gospel emphasizes the divinity of Jesus, that divine name, the I Am, that is repeated. The Word of God becomes flesh, the incarnation, the one who has the power over life and death, does an amazingly human thing. He cries. A heart full of sorrow at the death of a beloved friend. For the God that we believe in, the God has taken on our human flesh, our humanity, in order to save it, to restore it to life, is not a distant, uncaring God, but one who comes to be with us, to weep for us, to weep with us. And this weeping Christ calls the dead Lazarus out of his tomb and restores him to life. And because in keeping with the common burial practice of the time, the body of Lazarus has been wrapped up in cloth. What's that referral to the burial bands? And so when Jesus commands to untie him, let him go, the word that he uses in Greek is the same word that's repeated throughout the New Testament. Not just to untie, but to release. As in, and it's used elsewhere, to release someone from sin. To release someone from the power of Satan. To release someone from death. That's our baptism. To be released from the power of Satan. To be released from sin. To be released from death. That same Spirit of God that's given to us in our baptism, as St. Paul tells us today, that Spirit that is dwelling in us to be released from the effects of sin, the power of the enemy, and from death itself. And let us a unique time for us to assess how we are living out our baptism, our life in Christ. Today, it's a good day to ask, as the psalm says at the Mass today, what depths in our hearts are crying out to the Lord to be forgiven, to be restored, to be brought back to life? Can we see this week especially Jesus calling you and me by name, calling us out of the tomb? Whatever tomb that we've put ourselves in, the tomb of our fear, the tomb of our anxiety, the tomb of our pride, our arrogance, the pride of our indifference, the pride of our ignorance, all that stuff that needs to be swept away, Jesus calls us out of the tomb and to be released and restored to life. And restored to life not only in a physical sense, but also in a spiritual sense. Because the greatest threat to us, as strange as it seems, is not our physical death. It's the spiritual death. The death of the Spirit. That death that can separate us from the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. And those who believe in Him, even if they die, will live. That second death is referred to by St. Francis of Assisi in that great poem, The Canticle of the Sun. He says, the second death, the death of the Spirit, is the one that can separate us from Christ. And it's from this death that the Word becomes flesh, to dwell among us, to give us life, to shed tears of sorrow, and to die upon a cross for us, and to be raised up on the third day. For the one who is in the resurrection life calls out to us, particularly in Lent, to come out of the tomb. He is the one who commands us to be released from death. He is the one... Also in John's Gospel says, I am the bread of life. The one who calls us to this altar today to receive that gift of the Eucharist, to be renewed in the promises of our baptism, to be renewed and to intentionally and joyfully share our life, our faith in the risen Christ, so that like Martha, others will come to encounter Him, to believe, and to have eternal life.